Yes, and welcome, welcome, welcome once again to another podcast episode and show of the TJ Macklun Show. Wow, I almost went back to the old intro of TJ Macklun, the Sports Half Hour, but that show is long and gone thanks to iWeb and iTunes and the podcasting and everything that used to sync up that no longer does due to, Apple software being upgraded or being new or being whatever they do where you agree to the terms and conditions even though you'd never read them, and the next thing you know, you're part of the human Sentai iPad that they are secretly building out in their Cupertino lab that South Park made fun of, but it probably is happening. So anyway, yes, off subject and off track from where we wanted to start at for this week, but this week's episode, all about fantasy football. Well, my guest, Jay Clemens, is a fantasy football writer first and foremost, but the beauty of the people who I like to talk to, like Zach, Gabe, Big Nasty Alfred, Matt Miller, my first guest, and whomever else I happen to have on the show, I like to talk about more than just the subject I bring them on for. Jay, same thing. I could easily want on, we want 40 minutes or 45, depending on what the runtime is on this podcast when it's all said and done. We went 40 minutes talking what should have been on just fantasy football, as the guy is brilliant when it comes to writing about fantasy football. Give him a follow at Jay Clemens. But instead, we spent half of it talking about the Big Ten, half of it talking about DraftKings and what's going on with that whole little racket that you see a commercial for every single 5 seconds when you turn on ESPN or any NFL game. Or I think basically you probably could turn on PBS and see a DraftKings ad come up in between Sesame Street and Thomas the Tank Engine. Surprised I haven't seen them yet, seeing that my kid hasn't begun watching TV yet, as much as my wife Sarah likes to try to keep her from watching the screen. It's kind of hard to with today's day and age where everything's a screen and everything's a TV. But once we get into cartoon watching, I'm sure I'll find a Big Bird sponsored DraftKings ad where him and Grover and Snuffleupagus are talking about their adding Jamal Charles over Matt Forte on a week and getting a good payout for having a PPR format for what they do. Anyway, Jay, him and I could have talked easily for an hour just on TV shows we're on right now. We could have talked probably an hour on the Big Ten, could have talked an hour on probably beer, anything. So that's why I love having guests like him on, because we don't need to stick on one topic and hammer it home for 30 minutes because it gets boring. It's boring to me to talk about, probably gets boring to them to talk about to me about it, and you as a listener, it's probably boring as well. So that's why here we try to stick to as many topics in a free-flowing conversation, and why we might start talking about Ben Roethlisberger's injury and how that's going to affect Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell, and then segue into why, Bob's Burgers is one of the best cartoons that are on right now, and how South Park is still great 20 years after their first episode back in 1999 or whatever it is. So give Jay a follow on Twitter. Follow his blog as well, the Fantasy Philanthropist. I don't know why halfway through I talked about baseball, but you're here at the end where I think I plug his plug him and his site and his award-winning blog as well, which we start the show off on. Why I keep on calling him the fancy baseball philanthropist or whatever. The guy just does football. He's great at it. Give him a follow. Read his stuff. And give the show a follow too, at TJ Macklun, and also Place to Be Nation. They have a lot of great stuff going on. I swear every single day there's a new wrestling show or podcast or blog or whatever. Or Scott, how he did the Extra Point, but now they have their new show out. So that's a great little show to listen to as well. So I'll stop my rambling here, and I guess I'll go finish editing the show and then update my DraftKings lineup before tonight's Monday Night Football game, and then update it again before Tuesday's baseball games, and update it again Wednesday before the cricket in India, and then I think Thursday there's a NASCAR race I probably can update my DraftKings website or DraftKings roster for, maybe some soccer as well, and let's see what else. I think badminton from Japan I can add. There's one of the good players, his name escapes me right now, but I know he's normally very cheap and he really helps your roster out. So DraftKings badminton for the Japan, and also the Taiwan kickboxing too. So go there. I have enough plugging for a site that doesn't pay me anything. I'll stop talking. I'll let Jay and I pick up the conversation from here, and we'll pick it up after the break. on the show this week. You know, it's been a couple weeks of the NFL season. We're just through week three. I know I have a team that's already going to be a 3-0. Another one that's 1-1 on the verge of how tonight Jamal Charles does. Could go 2-1. Could be down 1-2. But I'm sure a lot of you out there, you're having a lot of trouble with your fantasy football team. CJ Anderson is a dumpster fire. Andrew Luck has thrown more interceptions than touchdowns. Roethlisberger, his knee kind of went kaput, but he'll be back at least in 6 weeks. So I have on today the fantasy football philanthropist, the person who just won a 2015, I believe, as we just said offline, sports blog of the year, Jay Clemens. Jay, correct me if I'm wrong on your award, but shed a little light on your philanthropy work that you do for the fantasy football suckers like myself.
Yeah, you are correct in the award. I won it in April. By the way, I want to hear something funny. I'm sitting here watching Boomer and Carton. It's just a syndicated show on CBS Sports Network back in April. And I'm just sitting there watching TV and just working on my computer early in the morning, like normal. And they're reading the list of winners because they ended up winning an award for best radio broadcast.
Right.
And I found out over the air that I had won, like, not even knowing when the awards were coming out or anything like that. Like, I just didn't know. Someone had told me that from Fox, I was nominated. And right. So I was like, oh, well, that's cool. And had no idea when the awards were or anything like that. No one invited me to the awards, obviously. And they actually read my name over the air. And I was just like, what the? And I should have, if I was smart, I should have taken the DVR or, you know, whatever, and rewound it and then recorded it off my iPhone. But, oh well. But, yeah, it was pretty funny that they mentioned my blog winning it on national TV before I even knew. So that was pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. It's like if you were an actor waking up at 5 o'clock in the morning to see your name being read off for a list of Academy Awards, it not be his nomination, but actually winning.
Yeah, well, it's a little different. If I recall correctly, I was up all night working on a mini project for Fox. So it was one of those things where I hadn't gone to sleep yet.
And
you know, it's one of those things. Like, I live the life of a college kid. I am now in my 40s. I'm not ashamed to admit that. And I still live the life of a college kid who's prepping for a final in humanities for a class he didn't attend for 2 months, yeah.
That's funny. And if you follow Jay on Twitter like I do, you are like a college kid in that you still go on bar crawls with the Big Ten crew, which living here in Austin, I'm very jealous that I don't get my wife, who's an IU grad, why I don't get her on this. So hopefully you can bring the Big Ten bar crawl from Atlanta over here to Austin.
Oh, I'm sure Austin will be fine without a Big Ten pop. It is. It's weird. I have 5 or 6 really good friends here that we hang out and watch football a lot. Play the days I don't work. And five, six are all Big Ten grads. And I knew only one of the guys previously before moving to Atlanta. So it's weird, like, how all of us kind of congregate. So when we have a Big Ten pub crawl, it's basically a home game for everybody. So it's probably our up next to the Santa pub crawl the week before Christmas. It's probably our favorite thing of the year.
Nice. And in my wife's case, I know you are a Michigan State fan. Her being an Indiana fan for football, we kind of take the month off from September through about January off from watching any Big Ten games. But Indiana is 4-0. However, I think they're going to give out 2 more wins and then plateau. Whereas your Michigan State Spartans, I'll ask you this year, Final Four for the football, and anything beyond that would be gravy, or is this a national title year or bust for your Spartans?
I never look at it that way, ever. I grew up old school thinking that the Rose Bowl was everything, okay? Mm. And if you win the national title, that's great. Like, the national title, like, on the beat and that, but I want to win. I do. But at the same time, like, you go into Rose Bowl, if what happens to the Big Ten team, then that's good enough for me. Like, right. I'm one of those people that when Michigan State basketball, which I love more than anything in this world, practically, when Michigan State goes to the Final Four, I'm okay.
That's true.
You know, like, I want to win the title, but, I don't know what that makes me. Does that make me a guy who's happy to be there or whatever? But, like, from every year to year, I set the goal of Rose Bowl for football and basketball for Final Four for basketball, and anything else that happens after that, I can deal with it.
Right.
So it's one of those things where, you know, I think we're the number two team in the country? No. Let's be honest. I think Ohio State has a major advantage against us, especially running the ball with the gut. And it will be very difficult to beat. I think we play on November 10th in Columbus. So, wow. You know, I'm being quite realistic here. Like, I know we can beat Michigan. I know we can beat Nebraska. I'm pretty sure we'll beat Michigan. The Ohio State game, like, it would take an injury to Ezekiel Elliott before the game.
Right.
Plus, probably I have a chance. I assume that would be the case again. So, if you want to say I'm more realistic than overjoyed right now, I mean, number two is great. But at the same time, you know, we beat an Oregon team that, you know, Oregon overthrew, Vernon Adams overthrew that receiver on first or second down against Michigan State. And then Oregon loses by 32 or 42 at home, whatever it was tonight, to Utah. So it's one of those things where I know Michigan, I know they're a potentially elite team, but number two seems a little higher.
Right, exactly. I mean, you're a reasonable fan, which is a fan that I like, and a fan that doesn't get too over-emotional as, say, anyone from the SEC that one loss and they think the sky's fallen and they completely lost. Or, like here in Austin, they want Charlie Strong fired after two losses that, you know, wasn't his fault whatsoever. I mean, how do you blame a coach after, one, your kicker misses an extra point to tie a game, and a ball bounces off a punter's face mask to lose a game? I mean, have you ever seen two games like that, back-to-back, where a team has lost in that type of catastrophic way?
You're referring to Texas or...
Texas.
Yeah, I don't know. A few of us were watching that game the other day, and, you know, to be honest, it was of the three games that were going on at real relatively at that time, it was probably the least surprising revelation, even though it was a surprise, because at the same time, Texas and TCU were playing around that time, and then Florida, Tennessee, you know, that was the game everyone was focused on, myself included.
Right.
And Oklahoma State, Texas just happened to be on the next TV over.
Right.
But, you know, it's one of those things where it's devastating for the people in Austin. I get that fully, but at the same time, you know, it's one of those things where a lot of people are expecting growing pains. And you can't fire a college coach. Like, even the worst college coach hire, unless he commits a sin, like the Rutgers coach did, Kyle Flood, where he pretended to be like somebody else when talking to a teacher or something like that. Unless you're, like, running them up, or you attempt to deceive or denigrate the integrity of the academics and things like that, you should get 4 years. Like, you made your bed, you can lie. You got to get a coach at least 4 years to succeed. He needs at least one full revolution of recruits to even judge him. So it's funny how people are so quick to overreact. You know, Charlie Strong was great, and he wasn't great because Bridgewater was his quarterback.
He was.
There were other reasons. He can recruit like crazy. Mm-hmm. He's a good coach. It's just going to take a little longer than expected. Deal with it. You know, and it's Texas. They're going to be fine in the long run.
Right. But, I mean, as I'm sure you know with your readership, everything is now. I didn't see where your rankings were, but I'm sure if you put Roethlisberger in the top 10 and he goes down with a knee injury, people come out and you go, how come you put him in the top 10? He only scored me 5 points. I mean,
it's weird. I have an interesting relationship with my readers because a lot of people know that I will snark back on something. You know, like one guy yelled at me last week. I don't even remember what it was, but it was something where I had to pick between the thing, and both of them were ugly options. And one of them had some late touchdown, and he was like, "Epic fail on your part." So, you know what? You don't have to take my advice. You know, I'm not putting anyone's head and saying, "Sir, you have to do what I say." Like I always tell people, and you've seen my tweet 1,000 times. When in doubt, ride your gut, because my toes will keep tapping. Okay, I will keep walking down the street with my head up if your team loses. Because really, I don't care. Like if I'm being honest with myself, if I give 1,000 people advice a week, okay,
right,
and I go 73% good advice, that's going to be 27% bad advice. You got to play the percentage.
Of course,
you gotta look at it like a gambler. Like you know, like if I screw up one person, I'm sorry, it didn't happen. But in general, I will get to the playoff. I will get you to your precious playoffs by the end of the season. And really, that's all that matters. So you know. Like, people know that I was stuck back because I tell everyone, it's not a perfect science. And damn it, ride your own gut. You're the one shelling out money for this team. You know, like, you need to own your own picks at the end of the day. It's what it's. I will give you advice. I will do tons of research, but at the same time, I really don't care what you pick once the kickoff happens.
Right. And like I said with Roethlisberger, how can you predict injuries? I mean, Romo going down in a game against the Eagles. Drew Brees now.
Well, I don't know if anyone, I rarely see anyone get mad at me for injuries. Like, if you want to get mad at me for Andre Johnson, Andre Johnson as a high pick, but I certainly had him in the top 40. You know, he had one target yesterday. I know we're just kind of jumping around your topics, but he had one target. A catch that was called back, and after that, he didn't see the ball. It's one of those things where, in good conscience, I can't recommend him anymore to a PPR because, you know, you can say, well, there's the Colts have too many weapons. Well, I'll take the Edwards approach, is that he doesn't have the other team's best cornerback guarding him anymore, and yet he still can't get separation. It's amazing how some players, even receivers, can get old or, you know, like I use the analogy of, like, you know, when you see guys running, all of a sudden, it seems like they're running with a piano on their back. Like Larry Johnson, one year went from great to, oh, my God, what happened?
Right.
And I'm fearing that it was going to be the case for Andre Johnson.
I was thinking this, too, because I had taken Andre in a couple leagues here. But I think he's droppable and Moncrief. Or Dante, whatever. He surpassed him as a number two. But let me ask you this here, because T.Y. Hilton has gotten off to a slow start. Should people start looking past T.Y. and more to Moncrief as the Colts' number one option?
No, you should want to trade for T.Y. right now because the breakout is coming. Here's the thing about T.Y. T.J. He's going to have at least four or five games where he goes off for, like, seven catches, 150 yards, and two touchdowns. You just have to guess which one it's going to be. And the rest of the time, he's going to have okay stats. Did he score a touchdown yesterday? He had that one reception that got him down to two. Okay,
yes.
So you need to be a little – you need to rationalize that one and just say, you know, if he didn't have a defender completely break to him, he would have fallen into the end zone, you know, if he had had one more drive, things like that. So – you know, you need to be practical. Like, Steve Smith had an amazing year with Jake DeLone, I believe, in 2009, and where he had, like, 10 or 11 touchdowns, but people forgot that he got tackled at the one four times that year. And all four times, D'Angelo Williams ended up cleaning up the touch and getting a touchdown out of it. So it's one of those things where, you know, you have to watch the games. You can't just tune in ESPN and into the box score. You have to watch Red Zone. Like, I encourage people.
Love Red Zone.
Unless your specific team is playing. Like, it was great for the Lions to play at 8 o'clock last night, me being a Detroit guy. So I could just watch Stone with no worries or things like that. If you are a fantasy person who prides yourself on being keenly aware of what's going on, you can't just watch your regular game with the commercials. You need to watch Red Zone. And I know that sounds like blasphemy. It really does. But it gives you a total sense of what's going on all the time. And, you know, you'll know that T.Y. Hilton is having no problem getting separation. It's just been a little rocky start. He's going to get better sooner than later. That win was a huge, huge shot in the arm for India today. Both fantasy players and throw him.
Well, yeah, because in a lot of my leagues, I've taken Andrew Luck number one with a pick because I knew, as we said just a couple minutes ago, Andre Johnson being added, Frank Gore being added, T.Y. in another year, Moncrief, and the Fleener and I'm forgetting their tight end they have right now.
Dwayne Allen.
Yeah. Exactly, Dwayne Allen.
Phil Dorsett had a touchdown yesterday.
So. Right, yeah, he did. So, you know, was I wrong for taking Luck number one, or is this something that he'll rebound because it's only been three games?
Let's answer that with a me.
Okay. From where I drafted, I just thought he's going to throw 40 to 50 passes or touchdown passes, and we need those points. So is he going to refer, like, will this just be a small anomaly of how bad he is, or is this going to? All right, little technical difficulties there, got dropped. But as I was saying before we reconnected here with Andrew Luck, going to regress back to how he was, or is this something that he'll continue on being, which is basically the Indianapolis and the AFC's Jay Cutler?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, okay. You're dropping off here.
Great.
I think what you asked about Luck, is he going to regress or is he going to be good?
Yes.
He'll be fine, okay? Like, the interception sucks, but if you're in a league where you don't get minus one for interception, really, do you care? If you're not a Colts fan, you really care because when you turn the ball over, okay? Just like in basketball, if you're a point guard and someone steals the ball from you in midcourt and gets a lift, assuming you don't kick that, get benched by the coach, you get the ball back right away, okay?
It's true.
So if you throw an interception and it gets returned for a pick six, okay, your team didn't punt. And if you don't care about the Colts, you really care that Luck threw an interception because that just means that they'll get the ball back and now they're down by more or the score is closer, which means he'll probably be throwing the ball more. So, you know, it's one of those things where I hate to be that selfish person, but if I don't care about the Colts, I don't really care about the interception either.
Right. And, I mean, most, I would say, I'm going to make up a stat here, but 90% of the fantasy football players don't care about probably 31 NFL teams. They care about their team and that's it.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, with people who drafted Luck, I mean, I just, man, I just wish there was a fantasy site or option to where I could play one week and redo my roster and play another week with another quarterback. I just wish there was something like that out there, Jay. Oh, you know, if only they would run ads about that stuff. If only.
Yeah. So I kind of fought this last year because I used to tell people, hey, how come you don't write about FanDuel or DraftKings? I'm like, well, they don't pay me anything, so why would I write about it? You know that? So,
right.
But I have changed my tune, and I always tell people, I don't get a red cent from anybody here. And I did consult one site that's an up and coming site on that, but at the same time, like that, you know what it is. But I totally got into it because it is a gold mine of activity in terms of money that you can make, but at the same time it is basically replaced all the people who need their fix on online gambling.
I know,
and they transferred all over to it, and I'm not a gambler, okay, TJ? I'm not,
right?
I'm in the business. I don't really have time to gamble on things, but I don't see a problem with putting a $3 bet on a game where the PR contest of something that you write about all the time, you know, like,
yeah,
you're talking about me. Like, where the PPRs are my specialty and things like that. So, you know, for fun, I do these just to kind of supplement the writing, because if you're going to fill out a card, I mean, if you're going to write it, you don't just fill out a card and experiment with the different combinations of the lineups and things like that. So I've really taken the shine to it. I did not think that would occur, but I still have great passion for my regular leagues, but it is pretty cool that you can go on DraftKings and bet a $3 bet.
Right.
On a harmless $2 bet on Monday and Thursday games only. A game, and so you're basically interconnecting two different weeks of the NFL season based on, separated by 4 days, and you can only use guys from that thing, and you have to fill out your lineup with the standard $50,000 salary cap. I find that fascinating. So it's a wonderful world that we live in. But I everyone keeps asking, are regular fantasy leagues going to go away? And no. 10 years from now, it will all be the same. It'll just be, the seriousness of serious cash in 1 week leagues will never go away, but the regular standard leagues for people in offices, and, you know, when they stop making cubicles for workplaces, that's when I'll stop worrying about fantasy leagues.
Well, let me ask you this though. I mean, this FanDuel and the DraftKings, it reminds me of your PokerStars and your Full Tilt and your sites like that from the early 2000s. You know, and that went away about 2004, 2005 when the government caught wind and started taxing and saying, well, you can't online gamble. So what's the shelf life for these two sites? You know, 3 years, 5 years?
Okay, TJ, I think you know the rule. You never see a president speak during football game, okay? You don't mess with football.
This is true.
I played maybe poker maybe once or twice, okay?
Right.
So online poker stars or poker stars on that, whatever those sites were called, it didn't apply to me. I could watch Texas Hold'em on ESPN. And Texas Hold'em has been a prominent sport for, what, 15 years at least?
Mm-hmm.
I still couldn't tell you what is going on because I just don't care.
Right.
But you don't mess with football, okay?
This is true.
If you want to take away the college games, and I know the college, like the president, maybe it was Andrew Luckstead, I forget who it was, somebody higher up, like, wrote a letter. Oh, no, it was the Pac-12 commissioner, Larry Scott, wrote a letter to the colleges, like the NCAA, the FanDuel and DraftKings, begging them to take college games off the thing. I can see that happening, definitely.
Right.
But if you don't put the ball, this is a form of gambling, but at the same time, it's no different than playing, like, online bingo or things like that. You know,
right,
there are some leagues where it's a significant pony up, but for the most part, it's these little harmless $5, $10, $20 leagues. You can fill out a $20 card for DraftKings and win $1.2 million. That's not really gambling. That's that's buying a lottery ticket. It's no different than buying 20 lottery tickets, really.
That's a that's a great point.
Football, I don't see it coming. I don't see it happening. Would I be shocked if some person that was wanting to get the stump for it or wanted to maybe do it in Congress or something like that? But I guarantee you, no one actually that has – say you have an election coming up next year, TJ.
Oh, yeah.
I guarantee you no one is even touching that subject during the election because people love football. Don't mess with football. It's a pretty easy way to get to live your life as a politician.
So you don't piss in the wind, you don't tug on Superman's cape, and you do not mess with NFL Sundays. There are three things that I need to teach my six-month-old daughter here whenever she starts like really learning stuff. Let me ask you this here. We talked a little about injuries and wanting to trade for T.Y. Hilton. Let me throw out some names here and see if you would move them off your team. I'll start here with, myself, a beloved Steeler fan, Antonio Brown. Michael Vick came in, didn't look so hot. I don't blame him not looking so well because he just got thrown into the middle of a game against a good Rams defense. They go against the Ravens this week, and then it's Chiefs, Chargers, and I think Bengals the following 4 weeks. I'm not sure in which order. Would you move Antonio off your team for what's behind Ben?
Oh, absolutely not. PPR world.
Yes.
Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell with Big Ben in the lineup, they are automatic no-brainer choices as the number one guys every week. Obviously, they're not going to have the best stats every week, but they should have the highest ranking. What Brown did last year with 129 catches, 1,600 yards, and whatever it was, he had like 11 touchdowns, but he also threw for one, and he had a kick-returning touchdown, which makes him put him at 13, I believe.
Right.
Like, those are absurd numbers. Nobody expects him to get to that, but from a target standpoint, he was still amazing. He is the new Matt Forte, where he is head and shoulders the best PPR running back. Well, with Vic in the lineup, they're no longer the number one guys, but they're probably top three from week to week. You know, I know Vic completed 5-6 passes last week. The other day against the Rams. I don't know what day this podcast is coming out, but on Sunday. But here's the deal. His footwork is atrocious.
Yes, I saw you tweet about that.
His footwork in the pocket stinks. And I heard Deion say something, on the NFL Network show where, you know, wait till he runs the ball. Well, Michael Vick is my age, practically. You know, what is he? Is he 37?
Something.
36 years old?
He's up there.
Okay, so I'm a little older than him, but him and I are not that far away age-wise. Like, he's not a regular runner every day. What we saw with the Eagles back in 2011 might have been the last part of athletic prime that he had.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, he's had some rib injuries. He might be weary. It comes down to it. I'm never benching Bell and Brown, and I'm not treating them. I'm going to have to move and expect this to start. But at the same time, you can't honestly say that they have the same value with Ben compared to without Ben.
Right.
You know, they're just not automatic number ones anymore. But they're still great, and you're still not trading.
You brought up Matt Forte. He looked awful yesterday. I mean, he had an injury coming into the game. Jimmy Clausen, it would have been better if they just threw out a trash can with a T-shirt gun launcher attached to it to throw balls. Forte, is he benchable? Is he tradable? Or do you put him in there because of his ability to catch 5 or 6 passes out of the backfield?
Yeah, I'm not freaking out here. Like, it's very unfair. The new OC, Adam Gase, I don't know if he really has a ton of experience with a guy of Forte's talent. You know, it would frustrate me, that game against the where they basically ignored Forte in the second half. When you have Alshon Jeffrey and Kevin White, who's done for the year, out, like, you're basically just wasting Matt Forte. Like,
right.
I know other teams are probably targeting him, and they probably have a guy shadowing him directly out of the backfield, which means you can't really run a ton of wheel routes and things like that, but you know, it's still Matt Forte. You've got to use him. It's a no-contest fight, okay? It's a very unfair fight when you have a Seattle defense that's primed to do great things with Cam Chancellor back in line against little Jimmy Clausen and a bunch of guys you've never heard of and Matt Forte and Martellus Bennett. I mean, it's such an unfair fight that I'm not willing to judge anyone on this. But here's the deal. You know, Chicago won't see Seattle from this point forward, and Alshon Jeffrey will return. I'm at least hopeful of that because that PPR league where I drafted Andrew Luck and Eddie Lacy in the first 2 rounds, I took Alshon Jeffrey in round 3. I mean, no wonder my team stinks.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about 3 guys that have given you basically nothing in the first 2 weeks. So, you know, Alshon Jeffery is a PPR monster when healthy, but I have no idea what's going on with this injury. But I'm pretty sure when he comes back that he'll probably be fully healthy, because the Bears have no incentive here to rush him back if he's not ready, that kind of thing. So if he comes back in week four, you know, I'll be happier for 4 days. But it's ugly. It's to the point where, you know, in a standard scoring league, I'd be a little worried about Forte, but in a PPR, no worries, for sure.
Well, speaking of, people – actually, no, before we get into C.J. Anderson, before I segue into him, DeMarco Murray, inactive yesterday, seems like it's not going to be gone for a while. Is Sproles someone that should be at least on your roster in case Murray gets injured again, or someone you can put into a flex because of, you know, what he did yesterday?
I think Ryan Matthews is great. What do you have, 128 yards and touchdown? And I mentioned wheel route that Matt Forte specializes in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Sam Bradford, a picture-perfect pass to Matthews on a wheel route. We have linebacker going against him. So it was a decent matchup for the linebacker, and yet you can't compete with them. Sproles looked great on that kickoff return.
Right.
But Ryan Matthews is gold. Ryan Matthews would be just as good as he was with San Diego with DeMarco Murray or hurt. That said, I don't think Murray's injury is a 2 week thing. I think that was more of a thing where it was just next week. But it's a lot with LeSean McCoy here. You never can dump a backup running back when the starter has a hamstring injury, because Carlos Williams came in yesterday against the Dolphins, had an amazing day, 110 rushing yards. I think he landed 12 carries. He had a touchdown, all because McCoy is healthy enough to play, but he's not healthy enough to touch the ball 20 times, and he's not healthy enough to get to that second level when he's running the ball.
Right.
So it's one of those things where, you know, Ryan Matthews, Sproles, they should be great as long as Murray is still nicked up with a hamstring injury.
Well, backups here. Also, we'll go back into C.J. Anderson. Is it time to dump him for a Ronnie Hillman?
No, I'm not.
Really?
I'm not worrying about C.J. Anderson. You know, I don't have to. I wish I had known you were going to ask me about this. I could help Steph. But his final six games last year, he was averaging something in the realm of 108 total yards and one touchdown. And granted, Ronnie Hillman was nicked up last year. And remember he actually did pretty well after he beat. You know, and then Hillman got hurt. That's where C.J. Anderson stepped in. I'm not saying that Hillman can't beat out Anderson, but I think Anderson has earned the right to keep proving it for another few weeks. So I'm not really worried. I just question how great he can be in a lineup where everyone knows Peyton's going to be in the shotgun now. Because, you know, when Peyton runs a run to Anderson, you kind of know it's coming. It's a lot like when the Eagles run a pistol formation and they try to fake, you know, no one's buying the fact that Sam Bradford's going to run with the ball. So everyone knows when they're going to get the ball. So it's one of those things where, you know, these teams have just got to get more creative in how they mask certain plays, you know.
Right. Someone's probably going to be hot on the waiver wire this week. Tyrod Taylor, worth a pickup or just played a terrible Miami defense and a pretty bad Patriots defense? And he'll regress back to...
I'm not bashing anybody that scores back-to-back weeks. 30-point games in back-to-back weeks. I'm actually doing my revelation for today, Fantasy Revelations. And Tyrod will be mentioned. If it goes back to DraftKings, I'm saying.
Yes.
I made a card of a PPR card for Ryan, my receivers, Brandon Marshall, Steve Smith, Antonio Brown, Julian Edelman. I had the Vikings defense. The Vikings had, three or four sacks, a couple interceptions, and then they had that Green Bay touchdown.
Yes.
By the way, that Chad Greenway wrote on Twitter, it killed two birds with one stone, where it was a pick six, but it also took 3 minutes off the clock in one single play. So, you know, that was pretty cool. And then I forget, my running backs were Ryan Matthews and Le'Veon Bell. So I nailed seven of the positions. I was
in position
to make serious, serious cash. Didn't have a lot of money.
So your DraftKings, you basically killed it. You put a little money in, and I mean, it's this is why you've won the blog of the year, just because of, you know, your lineup that you could foresee coming in, and just
I had the choice of, I had very little money to spend. I had like $6,000, which in a DraftKings world is basically next to nothing. Okay,
right.
And so I had two options. I could get out of my guys. Okay, so I went Nick Foles and Cook. Jared Goff was going to get it. He was the leading receiver in both the receptions and targets, okay? And I figured that the Rams would be forced to score a lot of points because the Steelers would score a lot of points. Okay?
You think so?
So, and I knew it was raining in Miami. And so I had the choice of either Tyrod Taylor, Charles Clay, or Foles and Jared Cook. And it had, and I made some serious money. I mean, I had some serious point receivers, running backs, and defense. And had I started Taylor and Clay, I would have been, I would have made a lot of money.
You would have.
What it is. And so my own stupidity cost me when really, you know, Tyrod Taylor, some of his points against New England were garbage time, okay? Mm-hmm. But I cannot disagree with back-to-back 30-point game, and you won't hear a dissenting word about Taylor or Derek Carr from me from the rest of
that's
the
right.
From this point forward.
He had another good game, Derek Carr, against the Browns. I saw a stat here, and this can just, I guess this just proves how good of a player Amari Cooper is, but I did see Joe Hayden get hurt. I think it was mm-hmm. 9 targets at Joe Hayden, who is typically a shutdown corner, and Cooper had 9 receptions. So is Cooper the real deal, or is that just hurt Joe Hayden?
Well, let's keep in mind that Hayden did leave the game halfway through the first half. Now, granted, by the time that he had left the game, Cooper already had something like 6 catches for 95 yards.
Right.
So let's consider all the information. See, this is one of the things that comes into watching the game. Could you just say, oh, well, Joe Hayden went out. No wonder Cooper. No, Cooper went wild in the first quarter. That first quarter was amazing. You know, Jerry Rice, Calvin Johnson, Larry Fitzgerald are all Hall of Famers, okay? And yet they all struggled as rookies, where mm-hmm. Amari Cooper has already become a certifiable number one starter or number two at the very least in a PPR and standard scoring league. He's a monster. And as long as Derek Carr is throwing the ball to him, and as long as Michael Crabtree is distracting other people on the other end, on the side of the field, Cooper can be an absolute star sooner than later. I actually had Jamie Eisenberg from CBS Sports. We're in a league together. He mm-hmm. tried to swindle me last week where he wanted Amari Cooper in a trade, and he was willing to give me Jonathan Cooper trade off. And
wow.
I said, I'm like, come on. It's a PPR league. You know. No, come on. That's ridiculous.
Right. Well, you know, this might be a knee-jerk here, but is he the best rookie receiver since, say, Randy Moss?
No. Odell Beckham and Mike Evans were great last year.
See? Yeah. Knee-jerk. Complete knee-jerk. That's why.
If Mike Evans had his rookie year 2 years ago, we would hold him up in similar regard to Odell Beckham, minus the great, you know, the Spider-Man catch that he had against the Cowboys.
Right.
His numbers in the second half last year were phenomenal. You know, very Keenan Allen 2 years ago-ish.
That's
you know, that
true.
Kind of thing. But we are in a wonderful era of golden age of receivers where, you know, these guys are just amazing. And it's a shame that my hometown Detroit Lions didn't have that foresight. Instead of taking Aaron Donald, that great defender for the Rams, or Odell Beckham for the Giants, they opted for a tight end, which nobody ever should take a tight end. Like, outside of Greg Olsen, and I'm sure there's somebody that I'm forgetting here, like, it's a waste of time to take a tight end in round one. You know, Gronk, Aaron Hernandez, before all that bad stuff. You know, they were, you know, jam, stuff like that. It's not worth your time and effort to ever take a tight end in round one. And yet the Lions took Eric Ebron over Aaron Donald and Odell Beckham.
No.
Un-freaking believable.
Well,
know?
I don't think you can blame them for not taking Beckham, seeing their past history of taking receivers in the first round. So
No, you can't say that. Once they took Calvin Johnson, that was completely I've worked for the Lions, as you probably have seen. I've mentioned this many times. I worked with the Lions during that Millen thing. It's not that the Lions erred in taking a receiver in 03 when they took Charles Rogers. I mean, they didn't err in taking a receiver. They erred in the fact that they took Charles Rogers over Andre Johnson, okay?
Right.
Charles Rogers was a Michigan State guy, but I never thought he was going to be a dominant pro, where Andre Johnson had that body where he could get separation from people in college. It was amazing. And this was not some hindsight thing. If we had Twitter back then in 2003, I would have been shouting from the rafters, take Andre Johnson over Charles Rogers.
Right.
They did err in taking Mike Williams, without a doubt. In fact, I was working for the team at the time, and I was doing some recon work for the scouting department in addition to my duties as writer. Mm-hmm. And I would actually give them mock drafts of what everyone was writing. And, like, I would file reports every day. And Russ Bolger, who now works for the Atlanta Pop, was head of scouting. And he actually asked me the day before the draft, okay, you've been doing this for a couple months. Who should the Lions take at number 10? And I said, this is a defensive-heavy draft. You cannot go wrong taking either Sean Merriman or DeMarcus Ware. They will be there at 10. And I go, and if you want to take Aaron Rodgers, go ahead and take him. And the PR director for the Lions shot me a look of death and said, we already have a quarterback, referring to Joey Arrington. And I said, okay, just telling you what I think. And it's so funny. Like, I think Aaron Rodgers was going to be the greatest quarterback in the NFL? Like, you know, at least in that conversation with Peyton and Brady? No. But I thought he had this game in 04 against USC. And at the time, USC had three linebackers that were all great players. And they were the guys that would play next year. And USC had a great defense that year. And Aaron Rodgers for California at USC had something like 19 straight completions and even downfield completions against them. And I was watching it from my hotel room because the Lions were on the road that weekend.
Right.
And I was just blown away. I go, this kid is amazing. And yet, you know, the Lions would have been much better off taking any of the three guys I named. But, hey, you know, listen to me. And,
And could you imagine Rodgers in a dome at least 8 games out of the year?
It would have been amazing. And the problem was they drafted Joey Harrington in 02. So that means that would have been year 4. And Joey Harrington was not a horrible quarterback in the NFL. He was serviceable, okay?
Right.
And there are plenty of serviceable guys that play 10 years. And Joey Harrington's thing was he liked broadcasting, too. So he was like, I'll just go into broadcasting, that kind of thing, instead of holding a clipboard. So Joey Harrington could have been a 10-year, 12-year quarterback without a doubt. So the Lions weren't long in terms of spotting that potential.
Right.
And, you know, but it's the problem was year 4 – they were still optimistic that he could be great. When I'm sorry, you don't let Aaron Rodgers slide their end when he completed 21 straight completions, downfield completions against the USC defense, where pretty much everybody on that roster, everybody in that starting lineup played in the pros 2 years later.
Man. Yeah. All right, so we're coming up here towards the end of recording here. You know, as I said, love following you on Twitter. What are you from your fantasy football advice, but more so your quotes from TV shows that you're watching, like last night, Bob's Burgers, Simpsons. So
that was now great. Bob's Burgers only been on the air for what 3-4 years, but that was easily the best season for me. That was fantastic, and if I have to keep this show alive single handedly, so be it.
No, I love it.
It's a great show, and you know the Cleveland show had its moments.
Mm-hmm.
Like TBS shows it all the time, and like if I'm working while from home, I'll like have it on. It'll be like the background noise, that kind of thing. But I hate when people compare Cleveland show to Bob's Burgers. Bob's Burgers is just as good as Dad, and I hope Bob's Burgers lasts for another 5 years. Last night's season premiere was great. The Simpsons was great. You know, everyone mocks the Simpsons. They've been on forever. So 26 years ago. Don't know what life like without him, but it was a fantastic premiere, and I haven't watched Family Guy yet, so we'll get to that later. But I love live tweeting shows. You know, it's just a way of, you know, I love Twitter, and I love expressing what I'm thinking all the time, and I can only think of 2 times that I've tweeted about where I got in trouble for it. It's a pretty good ratio for somebody who sent out 70,000 tweets.
No kidding. Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny. I'm the exact opposite. I saw Last Week Tonight and also Family Guy before having to go into the office this morning, but I haven't watched a Burgers or Simpsons here. But my question I want to ask you is, you know, with the loss of The Office and Parks and Rec, you know, those great comedies that have gone off the air, what's out there now that people should be paying attention to that you're watching?
We're still in a golden age. Okay, and we have The Grinder coming up, okay? Rob Lowe was doing the Mike Morning. He was saying, I didn't want to do TV. Like, I didn't want to do a sitcom unless I ever found something that I felt was as good as Parks and Rec.
Mm.
And he said, he was good at it. He goes, I've never felt good about something like I have for this one.
Interesting.
And he said that they had 6 episodes in the can, and all 6 were like, critics were giving it like 4 stars, and they've got like famous Hollywood actors that are calling that show and saying, I want to be a guest star on that show. I don't care what the role is, just put me on. So this is a golden age. You know, we have Modern Family. We have The Simpsons. We have Family Guy. We still have South Park.
Yes.
South Park is still as good as ever. This is a wonderful time. Big Bang Theory. Okay, Big Bang Theory is starting to get a little age enough, but I will give them credit because the worst thing you can do to a show in sitcom history is have it wherever all the main characters are all together in happy relationships.
True.
It's a lot like Friends. Like, you can't do that. You like, you know what makes for good TV today is relationships that go bad. Okay, where everyone hates each other, they're still hanging out, but they'll go through any lengths to sabotage the other person in the relationship. That's good TV. And Big Bang Theory is creeping down that road of now having two relationships that are everyone's petty. Thank God they broke up the relationship because in each person, you can show where everyone is happy with their life. This is not, you know, we should learn lessons from the final years of Family Ties, where everyone was in a happy relationship, and they spent the majority of episodes where everyone sat on the couch and they just flashed back to previous episodes, okay? That kills TV. Don't be that show, okay?
So basically you described It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. You know, I think that's coming back in January, so that is, you know, something to extremely look forward to. I think
it's coming back one more season. I have not watched the league yet, okay?
Oh, so, yes.
But my friend, Oxfordine, I don't know if you follow me, like, he's telling me about the league. He said the league might have been, the previous episode might have been the greatest one. Like, I like to binge watch shows, like Silicon Valley, Veep, stuff like that on HBO. Like, if people have HBO, you have to watch Silicon Valley, you have to watch Veep. But I love binge watching shows. Like, and it all, like, if you're binge watching Curb Your Enthusiasm, stuff like that. Like, so I want at least four league episodes in the can so I can just probably 2 hour span. And, you know, this is the golden age, man. I don't want to watch dramas. I don't want to fun, but I don't have time to commit stuff like that, but I make room for sitcoms. Always have, always will.
Yes, and I agree with you. I completely agree. All right, Jay, wrap up here. As always, the Fantasy Football Philanthropist, your blog, award-winning on Twitter.
You keep saying baseball philanthropist. It's Fantasy Philanthropist.
It's Fantasy Philanthropist, is it? I'm horrible at talking. It's why I'm glad I have a podcast show.
Baseball. Like I have, now that I don't work for Fox anymore, and Fox purged all their writers, so it wasn't like they let me go, but they purged their entire writing program. In fact, the day that I found out that Fox was letting me go, I set a record for non-Saturday hits during the fall.
Wow.
Like the entire company. Like it was, I was just kind of like, okay, this, they don't want people to click on the site. That's fine. But now that I don't write fantasy for Fox anymore, I'm like completely fantasy baseball free. It's one of those things where I lose interest. Come around my birthday's in late June. Or right after my birthday, I start losing interest in fantasy baseball real quick. I love the real world aspect of it, the division races, but you know, fantasy baseball for me is boring. It's just a problem here now, and you know, yeah, I appreciate the time very much.
No problem, and I know why I said baseball. I was in a keeper league where it's dynasty. We've draft prospects. There's a salary cap. The person who runs the league sent out, I think it's a 15-page PDF of the league rules and how to work the salary cap.
Oh, my God.
A Rule 5 draft we did.
I would never force a prison shivving of someone, but if someone sent me a 15-page PDF on baseball rules, I'm coming over to punch him in the face. You know, it's great.
Well, the guy who runs it is a lawyer, and so it's why everything got completely sent in there. But it was a thing where I took over a team, I completely did a wrecking ball to it, and I had about like $200 worth of cap penalties. But if I won the consolation bracket, all penalties got waived. So I was in a thick of a chase for the consolation bracket, which we happened to win yesterday. So I had the two, I had the one ESPN fantasy cast up, the Yahoo fantasy cast, and also the baseball cast up at the same time yesterday. So that's why my brain is completely mush. That's why.
Well, better. That's for you. Yes. I think the money for people that are in long pennant race division formats for baseball. I'm in fourth in one baseball league. I haven't moved a lineup person in a month, and I'm still in fourth. that's still in the money. I will leave you with a quote with your lawyer friend there.
Yes.
Like, I'll quote Bender from
Futurama.
I think your old man and my old man ought to get together and go bowling. That guy needs a life. A 15-page PDF on a baseball thing? No way. No.
All right, there's this week's episode with Jay. As I said, we could easily spend another 40-some minutes just talking about that fantasy baseball league that I'm in that really wrapped up a lot of my time from April through just this past week. I'm not kidding. Whenever I said that I had three GameCast scores going up at one time on Sunday, plus the Red Zone channel, plus whatever was going on the Steeler game, plus taking care of my six-month-old, which I still did. All this stuff's going on. We still found time to play her little jumper and her blocks and do whatever else happened. That, my friends, is called multitasking, and it's a way to go. Anyway, coming up here on the hour mark, I'll stop talking. You can stop listening, get on with your lives, go on, do whatever else you're going to do while you're on your day, whether it be outdoors on a bike ride, you have me in your ears, or while at work, or whatever you're doing. So thank you for listening. We'll catch you next week.